some of the sort of work we do within the digital archives team, but reflecting on that to the personal digital record keeping problem that you all hear about. So I've just got some principles that I think you can kind of derive from that project that I think apply to all of our personal digital record keeping. Firstly, don't trust old media. So don't trust old floppy disks. Don't trust USB sticks. If you've got a camera that's got some kind of weird smart card in it, really don't trust that. Because old media, it degrades. So floppies degrade really quickly, so do tape. So magnetic tape, sorry. Obviously microfilm and other things are much more stable. And those little special smart cards within cameras are the worst because they become obsolete so quickly because those formats change so quickly and the interfaces change and they can become very hard to read. So get your digital records off that old media if that's where you're keeping it. We recommend that the best place to keep digital records is on a live system, so on your actual computer that you use at home where it's visible. If you've got it on a shelf, that was really good for paper records to put things in boxes, but for digital, out of sight can mean it gets lost. If you've got old digital records in forms like Multimate, move those formats forward. So move off unsupported old formats as well. Because doing those things is a lot easier than the alternatives, which are, as I kind of showed for Chelmsford, firstly emulation, where we put it into that virtual disk. That's possible. You can do emulation at home, but it's clunky. And it's certainly a lot easier than reverse engineering, because we spent months on this project. And finally, keep backups, of course. And backups aren't just about digital preservation, they're also about CryptoLocker and all of the viruses, and so yeah, keep backups. So that's one of our very first digital archives migrations. I'm going to bring you right forward to something that we worked on this year. So 2017, I was actually on, I had a baby this year with my wife, and I was blissfully on 3 months long service leave when this happened, because I've never had a news story to deal with in my time as manager of digital archives. My poor acting replacement, Terry Jolliffe, one of his things was we were in the Australian. Because when Mike Baird resigned earlier this year, he just shut down his social media accounts, so his Twitter account and his Facebook. And an Australian reporter, Trent Ramston, realised that, well, actually, those accounts contain state records and state archives. And so there was an expose in the Australian. Mike Baird's Twitter sign-off exposes modern records flaw. And so poor Terry was on the phone with Jeff, and it was quite a lot of the work that happened when I was away was on this. So Mike Baird had been using Facebook prolifically, also Twitter. He had a YouTube account as well, and he used it to communicate with the public. He used it for stories about his personal life, but he also used it as an official record where he was making announcements about New South Wales government projects. So the way we managed this project was probably simpler than Chelmsford, certainly for Twitter. I've got this screenshot here, and unfortunately it's not going to be visible at all what it's showing, but it's my own Twitter account. And if you go to the settings within Twitter, you see that there's a within the content part of settings, there's a Your Twitter Archive link, and you can say request your archive, and that's what we did for Mike Baird. His social media advisor gave us access to his account, and we requested a Twitter archive, which gives you something to download, and it gives you a simple form of your Twitter account that you can keep on your local PC. So it gives you HTML pages and some text files as well that contain the data from your Twitter account too. Facebook was a different story. They were cautious about giving us access to Facebook, and it was because of the way they were using the Facebook account. So Facebook does have an equivalent functionality where you can download your archive from Facebook. We couldn't use that. So we used some other tools, including something called Web Recorder, which allows you to generate an archive of any page on the internet, including social media pages. We also wrote custom code against the Facebook API to get more data. So Yeah, the lessons from Mike Baird's social media digital archive project are that it's really important to identify where your digital records are. It was much easier 10 years ago, but now the digital records that we make and that have value to us are kind of everywhere. And oftentimes they're in the cloud. So I think most of my own photos, they're in Google Photos. Some are in Twitter as well. So identify where your photos are. This one, maybe a little controversial, be selective. You know, it's not necessary to keep all of your digital records. And this is especially the case with cloud, because you'll have so many copies of the same thing these days. You've posted something up here and it's over there as well. So know which copies you want to keep, know which digital records you want to keep. When you're using cloud services like Twitter, Facebook, Ancestry.com, be selective, be choosy. So kind of find out what they're going to do to your data. So if you're treating Facebook as your photo archive, understand what it will do to your photos. Are they downsizing the photos when you upload them so that you're losing information? What are they doing with your privacy? What rights do you have there? And most especially, what options does that service have to export your data? So you see that some are quite good. So Twitter is quite good. It gives you quite good control about how to export your data. Facebook's not bad there either. But understand that, because if you're entrusting cloud services to keep your digital records, then you really need to understand what your rights are as well. But I would say don't fear cloud services necessarily. They can really help. This cartoon here is from a comic called XKCD, and it's an excavation of this little stick figure who started at the top, and he's excavated all the way down from his documents to his old desktop file. Recovered from drive crash, my documents, high school zip disk, and then he's finally found it from his high school zip disk, AAA files. Oh my God, I wrote poetry at the end. So he's found his poetry from high school. Because we work nowadays on so many devices, so we have mobile phones and laptops and PCs, and because our files themselves have kind of traversed so many devices over their history, so you've moved files from the computer you had in the 90s forward, and you've kind of probably stuffed them into an old files folder at some point and then put it somewhere else. Because your digital records have moved across so many different devices over time, they can become really disorganized. And cloud services can actually help in terms of resolving that problem of trying to move your data across so many different devices. So I really rely on Dropbox these days as my personal digital archive.
There are some security concerns.
Yeah. But it's really because of this fundamental problem of keeping a kind of consistent, organized set of data across many different devices over time. But yeah, there are perhaps better services than Dropbox for this, but I'm a kind of cheapo, and so it's free, and I'm willing to take risks. If you're doing digital research, I'd highly recommend you look at a tool called Zotero, because it's really geared around keeping your records, your personal records of your research. So if you go to an archive, you can, oftentimes Zotero can actually look at an archive or library catalog and download the citations for you. It can generate the citations for your if you're writing up your research, but it can also keep PDFs of articles. It can keep your photos as well, and it can stick to the cloud. So it's a good way of organizing. So I think cloud services can help in this real challenge of maintaining an organized view of your digital records. And I think that's probably one of the most fundamental problems of digital record keeping, is just staying organized. But you should still back up. Even if you're trusting Dropbox, you should back it up somewhere as well, because if you delete something on Dropbox, in your Dropbox folder, it deletes it everywhere as well. So it keeps it everywhere, but it deletes it everywhere too. So it's a really good idea always to back up. And that can mean backing up on a different cloud service, or it can mean backing up on a device in your own home, like a portable hard drive or Apple Time Machine, that sort of thing as well. So that takes me to the end of my talk. How
do
I go for
time? Oh, you've got heaps. It was 4:45. We've got 15 minutes. Right. So people can fire questions at Richard and Danny.
So Danny, perhaps you want to join me at this point?
Sure. Okay.
Danny!
So I introduce Danny. He's a developer on the Digital Archives team. He's got a computer science background. He's also very okay with modern cloud products and things as well. He was cutting me for the Dropbox.
So if
you have any questions about the work of the Digital Archives team, any of the projects I described, or if you have any questions about your own digital preservation concerns, yeah, now's the time. Thank you.
Okay. My problem is there's too many options, because I used to be on Dropbox, and they gave me a few extra gig, and then they took it away when that period expired because they wanted me to pay for it. So I had to take all my data back down again. And then when I went to uni, of course, I had all of their, the Microsoft one. If you get
OneDrive.
Yeah, OneDrive. Yeah. So you get your OneDrive uni, you get your OneDrive personal, you got your Dropbox, you got your Gmail.
And then all your stuff's everywhere.
Yeah, and then you've got sort of Evernote and all that sort of stuff. And I got stuff from here at Christmas. And all I want was just one safe, secure thing.
It
won't let you export, like, if you want to take your stuff back, getting it back from Facebook, impossible. Twitter, that's nice to know, I can get that stuff. But there's too much. They want to keep it. They won't let it give it back to you. I just buy a terabyte drive and dump it all on that. But is that going to fall over? Is that system's going to be wrong? My USB sticks aren't safe. I got some zip, the old-fashioned big zip. The big, huge, clunky.
External hard drive.
It was a floppy.
There's Amiga zip drive.
Zip and Jazz.
That used to be the only thing you could get that gives you a decent amount of huge files to carry around.
Yeah, but they're really difficult to use.
I'll go back to L78. Make a lot of things really. There's too much choice, no guarantee of
When I said I used Dropbox before, I don't keep photos in Dropbox because that's where you really run into photos or videos. So I use it just for my other digital records, which for me are the most important things like text files and Word docs and PDFs and stuff. Yeah, for photos, it's a mess. Then do you have a good
Do I have a good suggestion? We're not here to sell products. You all got a very common problem. The people have been using computers for a long time. That's an issue. Another thing you have to do is what we do, which is track formats, which is this thing I stored it in going to be okay in the near future? Like, you've got photos and videos. Some video formats can age.
But CDs can die.
Yeah, there's a media risk, but the media risk you can sort of do something with by consolidating it, but drives are not getting as big as they used to. If you're big enough, you used to be able to just dump everything you used to have into the new machine.
Make
copies going forward is the trick.
Yeah. And when you've got so
pay attention to what's important.
Pay attention to what is valuable to you as well, and be selective.
That's not a convenient answer.
No. That is so terrible.
Because you end up with this.
Zotero is quite a bit different from Dropbox. It's like Mendeley. It's a piece of software on its own that is designed to help you do research. Mm-hmm. So it's not about just backing up any old files. It's about keeping your research notes, sharing your research notes, keeping your citations, and also support keeping PDFs. And if you've taken digital photos of archives, it keeps those and it can synchronize it for you to cloud backup within Zotero. So it's a really good tool, but you just use it for your digital research. It's not going to manage your whole personal digital record keeping challenge.
Get me out of a spreadsheet.
Yes, yeah. And the best thing about Zotero is that when you finish your research and you want to write a paper or a report or a newsletter article, all your research is there, and you can, if you want to put citations in, it does that for you and it formats them according to whatever citation.
Is it EndNote? Will that work with it?
It's like EndNote.
It's a
free version. designed originally for historians as well. Oh. Yeah, Zotero.org. It's really good. Yes.
Just a quick one. I've come through computers since they were 8-bit, 16, 32-bit.
Yep.
They're now doing 64-bit as the main thing. Is that any more secure than, say, the 32-bit And I'm finding it hard to find a 64-bit backup drive at the retailer.
That's
architecture of the machine. So that you can use the same media to back up for each one of those architectures, but they're not going to be more secure. That's just the architecture of the machine. That's the CPU. You can use the same media. You don't need special media to do that. As far as secure, machines get faster, the register can get wider, we can encrypt it, which is for security from somebody else reading your stuff.
Yeah.
You have options, which is what these faster and wider register machines are all about.
And I think our ICT techs here at State Archives.
To answer your question, there are five formats, the 8-bit and 16-bit, they are aging out. Now this NTFS partitions are coming up, ENTFS is coming up. So all these partition types, they are more better than like the thing which Richard told us in the first place where the DOS-based programs were there. They have to be migrated to a certain extent to a latest software which is available in the market today. So I would say just migrate all your digital stuff from your 8-bit, 16-bit, and coming up to the point where today we are. But again, a word of caution about the cloud services is privacy. Mm-hmm. And its main thing is these companies are making money out of it.
Yes.
So you have to pay for all those things which you're going to save your own stuff. So be careful about those stuff. So try to migrate it to the latest point where you can archive it or make it available whenever you need it. So I hope that answers your question. But keeping in that old format won't help you. It will age. That's the point of it. Everything ages. So
there are some techniques, depending on what you want to preserve, there's techniques for preserving it, but then you still have to maintain that format.
Maintain that format.
Knowing that, of course, DVDs or DVD drives are often not supplied with computers as they're being released now.
Mm.
What's your opinion of the M-Disc? Do you think that's going to be one of those fly-by-nights gone? Or?
I haven't even heard of the M-Disc.
It's supposed to be written in stone.
Oh, is that those?
Yeah, so occasionally we see these products that are kind of designed to keep your archive for forever or for 50 years. These actually have been around since CDs as well. I remember when I was in high school, you could buy these special gold CDs that were designed to last forever as well. I'd be very wary of any product like that, whereas physical media, that media might survive forever.
But the migration, again.
Yeah, the migration is actually having the equipment.
It's the equipment. So having the cables that you can plug into that thing to put into your computer.
I'm still getting stuff off 5-inch pockets.
It's the previous question, which is the implementation may not be... Like, we're talking about 50, 100, 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stuff that we're dealing with, records we keep for a long time, which is you have to migrate it forward because you may not have the implementation you stored the content in.
That's right. The thing also about looking forward is that we can only project what's going to happen based on our knowledge of today. So
yes.
If we think that this technology is going to be current for a certain amount of time in the future, in actual fact, we progress so rapidly with our technological advances that that period that we think is going to be 50 years turns around only to be 10 years or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to that point a lot quicker than what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with the Kodak Gold CDs was that the actual media that the information was stored on was safe, but the actual CDs themselves separated.
The
gold part where the information was is intact.
Right.
But the part that you need to put it in the machine and actually use it.
You need a manufacturing plant to get back to your data.
Could not. Yeah. So like, you know, it's
they're still being sold.
It's sometimes portions of the information or the media that you have a problem with, not the entire thing. So
because we went to a digital preservation meetup where I was talking to a lady who was a doctor and she had medical results that were paper tape. And one of the questions was like, what are we doing with all this paper tape?
Yeah.
She was in a different organization.
Was that like a telex machine?
Yeah.
Like
cards coming out of the machine. She's like, well, I have to go find the machine or we have to figure out how to migrate this forward.
Yeah.
Because they are retained for whatever period is required. Because that's another thing about this big stack of stuff, which is sometimes there is disposal. Like, maybe this movie you watched in the 1990s you don't need anymore, and maybe the software you downloaded might be interesting, but you probably don't need that. So as we do in archives, like for, you know, government as a whole, for yourself, sometimes it's like, well, I don't need that thing anymore. And then focus on the stuff that's really important to you, because that does take some effort to decide what that is and preserve it.
But it does make the problem much simpler for you.
Yeah, because, I mean, we keep a bunch of media on our machines that maybe we don't even care about.
Yep.
But then there's, like, photos of family, which you want to keep for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Apart from the personal digital record keeping, state archives and records use cloud services in the day-to-day business?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is in Amazon's cloud. We Digital Archives team, we also maintain the OpenGov website, which we also use cloud services for. So state archives, we're a regulator as well as an archive, and we set the rules for New South Wales government about using cloud services. And basically, our advice is pretty similar to the advice that we'd give to an individual, is that before deciding on using a cloud platform for your whatever you want to do with it, you should do a risk assessment. So consider the type of information you want to store in the cloud, and then consider, is this service provider in the cloud capable of meeting your requirements? So Angela's from that team, so
and we did that with some of our deployments. Like, we actually have long-term storage built into some of our services.
We don't keep any archives in the cloud at this point. That's probably a step further. But yeah, a lot of our business applications are in the cloud. But yeah, because cloud services, they have risks, but they also have a lot of benefits too, in terms of just flexibility and cost.
We've got another few minutes if people want to keep asking questions.
Back to the their situation.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, looking forward, that's going to be an issue with many politicians, I would imagine. And
we don't want every politician.
Well, I think probably not in America. That's all.
Yes. Under our act, we would keep.
But having said that was obviously a challenge for you guys in terms of retention of records.
Yes.
Has that driven any consideration and or action in terms of moving forward and capturing those records?
That's a great question. Because it was clunky the way we worked, because we couldn't get full access. So
really
we got access
be
to
part of BAU record keeping.
That's right, and that's something that our executive director Jeff Hinch would like to move towards, where we're not just in a reactive mode in terms
we
can work with government agencies on working with them with their current digital systems and making archiving a kind of side effect of those systems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something certainly we're looking at is how to work better with agencies today, so we have to do less work, like the kind of detail that in my presentation in the future. It's probably a great note to finish on. Thank you very much. And I apologise that I probably haven't answered all your questions about personal digital record keeping, but it was an impossible task to manage.
I volunteer to come to everyone else.
Please approach us if you have any kind of questions that you'd like.
Thank you all.
Thank you.